that this problem was considered by several groups, Damour and collaborators, and Binnington and Eric Watson a couple of years ago. And what we do in this work, first of all, we generalize Zergov to arbitrary to higher dimensions. And second, we answer the question, what is the relation between the effective field theory love numbers or effective field theory parameters and, say, for instance, love numbers defined in Binnington and Eric's work. So black hole effective action, you actually already saw this kind of action today. So we zoom out of the black hole, and as a result, we get the standard Einstein-Hilbert action for long wavelength modes. And the black hole degrees of freedom are encoded in an infinite number of operators, which are all concentrated on the world line of the black hole. The leading term, as usual, is just the mass term, and then there are sub-leading corrections. So, so first of all, in this talk, I will consider the static limit. Okay, so we will match all coefficients that survive in this limit, in the static limit. In particular, because of the time. Of time reversal symmetry, this B tensor, or this is an analog of magnetic field in the case of gravity, will vanish, of course, and basically we are left with only single term is four derivatives, and then there are actually other terms which contain more derivatives
without speed.
Without spin, yes, of course. This is non-spin case. Okay, so first of all, since we consider static configuration, it makes sense to redefine the fields, and instead of working with G-mu, we promote it to a d minus one dimensional two tensor, a vector field, and this scalar Newtonian potential. And this is a general change of variables. So we have the same number of degrees of freedom on the right-hand side and on the left-hand side. However, since we consider, again, static limit, the A field is just zero in the static case. And therefore, we have in this limit, we have just Newtonian potential phi and d minus 1, 2 tensor. Okay. So in this, after you do this field redefinition, So the Einstein-Hilbert action becomes takes this form, and basically you have just Einstein-Hilbert action in d minus one dimensions plus minimally coupled scalar field. If you do not consider this interaction, this is a Newtonian potential, and this is an exact action including all nonlinear interactions. However, this term, this is just linear approximation, weak field approximation of E squared term. What actually we get here is that to linear order in the field phi, E becomes just proportional to second derivative of the Newtonian potential phi. This is all.
Sorry, by static limit, you mean that the external field is static.
External field, yes. I will talk about now external. Or indeed, I mean, if there are no perturbations, then there is only Schwarzschild metric, and you do not care about all these terms. They are not important at all. I will mention it now, okay, in a moment. But to induce this multiples, you have to switch on some perturbation. And when I say static limit, it means that perturbations are static. Okay.
But sorry, just to reiterate. So as a result of this perturbation, the black hole could start moving, for instance.
It depends on the perturbation. If you switch on, say, quadruple perturbation, Qij, Xi, Xj, then the force at the location of the black hole is exactly zero.
But for more general,
if
you also have a dipole,
start. Okay, so then how to match? So first naive attempt would be to say, okay, let us compute, we have effective field theory, Lagrangian or action, and we have an action of the full theory. Let us compute the metric, okay, asymptotic metric on the both sides and match. So in particular, this, say, Schwarzschild-Newtonian potential, this is a diagrammatic representation of this Newtonian potential. You just compute all diagrams with one external leg, and the leg goes to infinity. So this is just the first correction due to mass. And then since the interaction, I mean, the finite size term contains two legs, two phi legs, you have one leg goes to infinity, and then another leg you are forced to close on the word line. And as a result, in dimensional regularization, for instance, this diagram just vanishes. Okay, this is, there is no surprise because we know to reproduce the full Schwarzschild action, you do not need to know any extra parameters. Mass is enough, and then you get all the math. Therefore, this is bad choice, of course. But there is also a clue how to match. Instead of plugging this leg to the world line, you have to plug it or to connect it to some background or some perturbation. Therefore, we just put, instead of considering black hole in a flat space time, we put a black hole in a weakly curved background. So this is a weakly curved background. It solves Einstein equations of motion to linear order in Q. And Q should be, of course, traceless because phi should satisfy just Laplacian of phi should be equal to zero. And then you compute again asymptotic value of the Newtonian potential. So this asymptotic value of the Newtonian potential will contain the diagrams which contribute to asymptotic value can be split into two classes. First class of diagrams, this is precisely the same class of diagrams that we had here for the Schwarzschild black hole in a flat space-time. And this diagram just reproduces Schwarzschild metric. And second class of diagrams contain two legs. One leg goes to infinity and another leg just connected to the weakly curved background, phi bar. So this cross here indicates insertion of the background, phi bar. Therefore, what basically these two diagrams are nothing else but the Schwarzschild background plus the perturbation around the Schwarzschild background. And so, therefore, what you need to do, you compute the perturbations, static perturbations around the Schwarzschild background on the full theory side. You compute these diagrams on the effective field theory side, and you just match and read off the coefficient C. Okay, so let us proceed. So how to match? Let us continue. I will describe it now. So first of all, some dimensional analysis. So it is natural to work in GR units where you set both G and C to one. So in these units, if you compare the bulk action and the mass term, you immediately deduce that mass scales as length to power d minus 3. And you put Schwarzschild radius because all Wilsonian coefficients depend on UV scale. And UV scale is a Schwarzschild radius. Therefore, mass scales as r to power d minus 3. And this coefficient, the quadrupole deformation, scales as m times r to the fourth because you have four derivatives.
I think it should be five.
Huh?
I think it should be five.
This?
Right?
Why?
It should feel like r to the five.
Yeah, like m. That's
zero.
M goes like rs.
M.
Oh, m.
And also m.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay, so. And then if you just substitute for RS, you substitute M to power 1 over D minus 3, you get this scaling. Okay? So one thing to note about this scaling is that in general, you have fractional power here. Okay? And you get integer power only in particular in certain dimensions. For instance, in D equals 4, you get M to the fifth. In D equals 5, you get M cubed. In d equals 7, you get m squared, and once you go to d greater than 8, it is always fractional. It's somewhere in between 1 and 2. Okay. So, for instance, let us consider an example: d equals 4. Okay. So, in this case, as I mentioned already, c scales as m to the fifth, and then to match, you compute the perturbation on the full theory side. You expand it to order m over r to the fifth. Okay, phi bar is your background. Okay, your perturbation. So you get this coefficient here.
On the effective field theory side, you also compute the same order. So this is this diagram, okay, with C. And since C scales as m to the fifth, you have to compute also all mass, all diagrams with mass insertions, and actually with five mass insertions. Okay, this is what you have to compute, and then you just subtract one from the other, and you get C. Okay. however, there is a nice observation that in general this diagram is just zero. Why it is zero? Because the bulk action is symmetric to phi goes to minus phi. It is quadratic in phi. Therefore, if you count the number of legs of this blob in the bulk, you get seven. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven. So seven legs. Seven legs. There is no such diagram. Okay, in the you can't construct such a diagram on the or using the bulk. And therefore, since there are no such diagrams, it is okay. You merely set it to zero. No such diagrams, no such contribution. Of course, there is a caveat here because bulk action, I mean, to compute something, you have to gauge fix also the action. So gauge fixing term might break the symmetry phi goes to minus phi. However, if you choose gauge that doesn't break the symmetry, for instance, linearized harmonic gauge for your computations, then of course all these diagrams, these diagrams will not show up. Okay, another example is related to d equals 7. Okay, so here you just eliminate this diagram by choosing, by working in appropriate gauge, and then you just have to match this coefficient on the full theory side with C. That's it, nothing else. Okay, now what happens in d equals 7? In d equals 7, you substitute here 7, you get 2. So C scales as m squared. That means you have to expand the full solution to second order in m over r. And on the effective field theory side, you have to compute this diagram, which is just trivial, and all diagrams with two mass insertions on the word line of the black hole. Okay, so this time this diagram, of course, is not zero because you have four legs. So it's of course respects the symmetry phi goes to minus phi. And it so happens that in principle you can easily guess what kind of diagrams you get in this case, and there are only two diagrams. And once you compute them, you even get indeed in seven dimensions you arrive to conclusion that they diverge. So I will come to this point later to the divergences, but I just wanted to stress that in general you apparently have some sometimes contributions from purely from mass vertices, okay, in the action. You have some contribution to C. Okay, but this contribution here, know that it diverges. Okay. Now, okay, so you can of course analyze case by case, but there is a nice observation, okay, which basically immediately solves the problem. So the observation is the following. For generic D, all these subtleties do not arise. Okay, because for generic D, the power of M is fractional, somewhere in between 1 and 2, and there are no such diagrams which contribute to the same way as C to the perturbation. So and this is exactly the spirit of dimensional regularization. Therefore, you say, okay, let us work in general dimension, in general D, okay, where these issues do not arise. So that means you have to just match one diagram, C, with the full theory computation. Okay, and then the special values you can treat as a limit. Okay, so by taking d equal goes to 4, 7, and etc. Okay, so and since in general there is no overlap between this, from this perspective, it is not surprising that there are no such diagrams here, because again, in general dimensions, only one diagram is relevant for matching. And as we will see later in a moment, the limit d goes to 4 is completely regular. And therefore, since it is smooth limit and there is no overlap for general d, you do not expect any overlap also in those special points where the limit is smooth.
So your argument would say, for instance, say I looked at not things with phis, but with tensor modes, with yes. Gravitons. So particularly, let me look at graviton scattering off of this black hole.
Yeah.
So your argument would say, for instance, that all these terms with five mass insertions, all these diagrams would vanish, even though when the external gravitons are optional.
Yes.
I see.
Yes.
Okay.
Right. But his dimensional argument doesn't care about
it. Yeah. This is not. Now, moreover, if you look in for high enough d, actually from d equals a, from d equals a, okay, for high enough d to match, like if you want to match the full solution with the effective field theory computation to order c, then basically you do not. There is again still only one diagram because there is. Because C is somewhere in between 1 and 2, and there are no diagrams with one leg here, because those diagrams with one leg here, again, are odd under the symmetry phi goes to minus phi. Okay? Okay, so let us do the matching, describe the matching. So, okay, so first of all, if there is no black hole, namely mass equals to 0, then phi satisfies just a simple equation, Laplacian phi equals to 0, and this is the well-known solutions. Okay, I consider as an example L equals 2, but all this analysis is valid for any L, and we did it for any L. Okay? So so these are two solutions, and then usually you interpret this term as a perturbation, and this term as reaction to perturbation. For instance, here in four dimensions, R square is quadruple perturbation, and therefore R2, you get 1 over R cube. 1 over R cube is precisely what quadruple, if you place quadruple in the origin, this is precisely the potential that it creates. Okay? So and then, but since there is nothing, then you get, you require regularity at R equals 0, and you get immediately that this coefficient should be 0. Now, once you introduce the black hole, you put the black hole as the origin, then the solution gets the following form. Okay, so phi 1 basically to leading order it looks like a times a r square. Okay, a r square, and then there are corrections due to presence of the black hole, corrections to this leading behavior. This is exactly the reaction, okay? The reaction to the quadrupole perturbation, okay? And so therefore, this coefficient lambda hat you interpret as induced quadrupole at the origin, okay? At the origin where the black hole is placed, and this lambda hat is precisely the value that you should match with the only diagram that you have in d greater than 8, for example. Now we work in general d. Okay, this is the only parameter that you actually match to this sole diagram with finite size coupling. Okay, and okay, so in general, these corrections are reproduced by computing diagrams with mass insertions only. So these corrections you can compute. And so let me just show you the result. So at the end, you do the matching for generic D, and this yields, of course, that your finite size coefficient is just proportional to lambda hat, and this coefficient. Proportionality coefficient is some regular function of dimension. Okay, so I just suppress it here. But what is important is that this lambda hat. Okay, once you compute these perturbations, you just solve the Ely equation, for example. It turns out that this lambda hat is proportional to tangents of 2 pi over d minus 3 for L equals 2. This is L equals 2 result. And then you immediately see that for if d equals 4. Then you get lambda hat 0, namely this C also vanishes. So now, of course, this result apparently is valid for higher enough D. Okay, but now we analytically continue it to all Ds, to all dimensions. And for D equals 4, you get 0, that C becomes 0. And for D equals 7, for instance, For d equals 7, you get divergence because you get tangents of pi over 2. So this is definitely divergence.
So what you can do, you can expand around d equals 7. Again, in the spirit of dimensional regularization, you just set d equals 7 plus epsilon. You set, you also replace your couplings by appropriate couplings in 7 dimensions. And then you expand everything in epsilon, and this is what you get. This is precise relation in d equals 7. Now, okay, but you can ask the following fair question, is that if lambda hat diverges, then you just go back to the full solution. This is the full solution. And then you say, okay, if lambda hat diverges, then apparently you get divergence in the field, in your web, expectation value of the field. But field is something that is physical, so it can diverge. So it doesn't diverge. So how comes that lambda hat diverges and phi is finite? So the answer is the following. It happens that phi 1, when lambda hat diverges, namely when d equals 7, phi 1 also diverges. And this divergence is precisely canceled at the level, I mean, precisely cancel each other such that phi at the end is completely finite and regular. Okay. What?
They multiply different functions of R.
They multiply.
I mean, phi 1 and phi 2 behave differently with R. So how can the divergence cancel at all R's?
I think in this d equals 7, what happens is they are proportional, right?
I'm just
trying to remember. In general, this phi 1 and phi 2 are some hypergeometric functions. And in this d equals 7.
The expressions you wrote down are r squared and r to the minus 6. Plus correction.
Yeah, I agree, but just let me recall.
Let me, sure.
I mean, I do not remember the
okay.
details, but
you still had to do the match, right? What's the starting point of that?
So, just a moment, so where we are.
So the effective field theory is divergent.
Yeah, so what I'm saying, so I want you just to explain what are these divergences. So this lambda hat when it diverges. Okay, so this phi 1 I told that you reproduce by from computation of the diagrams with mass insertions. So therefore the divergence that is appearing in phi 1 is related to the divergence in these diagrams that I showed you before. In these two diagrams. Okay? So the divergence that appears in lambda hat is so this divergence. When we solve the divergence of the effective field theory, right, we get divergence, we introduce counter term. And then counter term cancels, and then we match the finite piece. So here, this 1 over epsilon that pops up in lambda hat is a precise analog of the counter term. So this is precisely the counter term that will cancel the divergence coming from the diagrams. Now, and therefore this piece, finite piece, including log terms, is interpreted as a renormalized C, okay, D is missing here, but this is a renormalized, the whole finite piece is a renormalized, what we call the renormalized parameter C. And you can compute its beta function by just differentiating.
You have to match, you have to show at some point that M or something that is coming from, compared with
the full theory. Of course, this is what I did here, because originally I started from generic D, high enough D, and for this high enough D...
But that was up in 7 dimensions.
Huh?
So here, what is the finite piece that you're keeping?
Here?
Yeah.
Finite piece? This is the finite piece here.
Yeah. Okay, but that depends on L, right? So you're going to choose L equal R as Schwarzschild, and that's going to be your reason.
No, no. Again, what I have here, this one, this C, this is what you call in field theory the bare parameter. So it is
exactly
infinite.
That, yeah.
It is infinite. So this one over epsilon is counter term, and the whole finite piece is CR.
Yeah.
Okay. So so you see this coefficient is completely determined, right? So
yeah,
therefore,
L is equal to R Schwarzschild, but you have a finite piece that reminds you that you have to fix somehow with something.
Yeah, but this finite piece is what.
Yeah,
here.
But
so
you
don't
know exactly, but you know where they.
I know what it is because I think again I think CE is lambda, so when I expand here I know what is precisely this term.
You know exactly.
Yes, I know precisely what it is. I just dropped it because okay, these are some ugly numbers. So and then therefore what I just wanted to say that this one over epsilon divergence in C, so C plays a role in of bare parameter. One over epsilon is precisely the counter term, and this finite piece plus log has to do with renormalized parameter. I mean, and it is matched already because you have CR equals some constant plus log, and you know all these constants. And therefore, you get from just differentiating it with respect to log L, you get the flow, the beta function for C. So, so that's basically all. Let me summarize, and then I will address your question. So, the static sector is matched. This is the matching description of the matching of the static sector. But it is a kind of open question: what happens with the stationary deformation of the black hole? I have to stress that in Eric's paper, in D equals 4, he addresses also this stationary deformations. But still, we have to relate these Love numbers to Love numbers in the black hole effective action. And also, it will be interesting to include spinning black hole, of course. And the stationary part in general?
Higher
dimensions? No, I don't know.
They don't match.
Okay.
I'm not sure.
In certain cases, the Love numbers, these Love numbers, become negative, and it would be interesting to understand what this negativity means. Maybe it says something about instabilities.
In some dimensions,
for some else. Well, these are two questions, and thank you. This is all. Yes, I have to
So can you go back to that slide? 1 second.
Ah?
Can you go back to that slide?
You think I could answer your questions first and then we go into some other fields?
You think?
Never mind.
Yes.
Could you give the second order correction to phi 1? Which also stays like up to the minus 6?
Yeah,
is the divergence thing that cancels?
Again, phi is a.
So in phi 1, the second order correction inside
yes,
the parentheses.
When you say second order, you mean in M over
yeah,
R to the minus 6.
Parameter, that scales like R to the minus 6.
Yeah. Yes.
So it could cancel the zeroth order term in phi 2. If that's the divergence.
Yeah, that's I mean, if phi 1 comes from a diagram, whereas the divergent piece has to scale like phi 2, so that's
a counter term that's going to scale. Yes, but what I'm confused is that if there is a divergence here, I know that.
No, but it can't be exactly.
Yes.
The phi 1, the direction of phi 1 comes to the phi 2. Because that term has a 1 for epsilon 4, that is an open term, but it's a.
Yes. But this 1 over epsilon again multiplies the 4 by 2.
Because phi 2 is just like that factor over there, right?
By 2, this?
Yeah, so I imagine that all the higher order terms in phi 1 will come exactly with the same combination.
I think so, yes. I know that they cancel because I wrote this formal expression for this.
But the other one is never canceled.
If one of the two parts is
can I ask a question?
Yes.
How is this compatible with the fact that when we use the cubes, we get a non zero answer, like the paper with that one term area for a distribution? and you do the QE, right?
Yes.
And you match for the Q, for a short level. The QQ is not zero. But now you tell me that somehow what you integrate out the Qs and you get zero.
But your result depends on CE only or on CB on also?
It depends on R, right? Yeah, I forgot. Do you remember what? I forgot what it matches.
Well, we just get the imaginary part, not the real part.
Not the real part, that's right. Which is what is will enter here, but it is same.
So is that dependent?
All on this
no, I mean, it's just that you might think that there could be a dispersion relation that relates to the imaginary part. But I think that's speculative.
But the imaginary part is not zero.
Yes.
Right? Because that goes into this equation. That we know for sure it's going to be done. And this is the real part. And
yes.
It's analytic, blah, blah, blah.
No, okay, I have to stress that we checked, this is not like we did this analytic continuation and we did not check. We computed, for instance, we consider it, we considered a minimally coupled scalar. So minimally coupled scalar is not far from Newtonian potential because if you look at the action,
But
yeah, but you complain that maybe your analytic continuation is wrong.
No,
this
no,
is
no,
what
no,
you said.
When I complain, when I compute the QQ correlation,
yes.
In this equation, there's an imaginary part,
yes.
Which is non zero.
Yes.
Now you sort of, your sensitivity to the real part. Now we have an imaginary part, an analytic function, but you expect the QQ correlation to be
analytic,
are related.
Yes.
Like,
but they're doing everything at zero frequency.
This is zero frequency to back. Well, it's so what? The expression relation is not so at zero frequency.
Yeah, I don't know.
The real part is zero frequency. So
I don't, yeah, I don't. Well, so CB, you don't. It's
CB,
zero.
Is this what I asked? It would
no,
if this result
well,
is.
Well, let's forget about Rafael.
Yeah, CB.
I have two gaps here.
CB,
so CB, so what's known about CB?
I think Eric's result that it is zero.
Oh, so CB, the magnetic thing is also zero.
Yes, but again, this the question is how this
and this, is
this CB is related to this to CB in the black hole effect direction.
So,
here it happens,
no longer holds.
Yes.
Yes.
Here it happens that they are proportional. Therefore, since static Slav number vanishes, then automatically CB vanishes. But maybe in the case of CB, you will have some finite shift, and then it is not zero.
So then the claim is that at the linear response level, a black hole is a point particle.
Yeah.
Yes.
Maybe there's Riemann Q terms that are not zero.
Yes.
That's pretty counterintuitive.
Yes.
Okay, but.
No, I mean, it's what it is, right? But it's very counterintuitive.
But this could be compatible with the fact that the waveform looks from that. Looks suspicious. You have to run and show that they are not divergent, right? There is no need for it for measure. So there are no mutual term divergences. You can see anything. I mean, it's a hard situation, but
it's not being used. No, that's not necessarily true. You just bring the Y to zero.
But that's what I'm saying. There's no law.
Yeah, there's no law.
I know, but that would be weird. I
think this argument is somewhat correct. I would go the other way.
Yeah,
that's
definitely right.
That
would in your action, you can use the second derivative of the other potential. Why do not subtract the trace to get it trace free? Then you have a trace free term, which is a typical butthole pole term, because the trace free derivative is a butthole pole. Gives the second derivative now, but butthole is square. So you can subtract the trace, you can then slash additional terms, delta functions, you can discuss separately. So there's delta function squared, which you can maybe drop, because delta squared is usually zero. So you get a linear delta function, yeah? And then you get a trace field, the quadruple times quadruple structure. And this should be better to regularize than what you are doing here. It's a really nasty object.
But you agree that well, this C is this is a kind of gauge invariant quantity, right?
Yes,
this
course,
C, and therefore it doesn't matter what kind of procedure you apply.
Yes,
if you do everything honestly, you get the correct result.
Of course.
It's the same result.
It's a technical question.
Yes. So it has to. It's a matter of taste of how to do matching.
It's a technical question.
Yes.
Okay. Thanks.